Hello! This is Anthony from the We Have Issues podcast, a weekly show in which two lifelong friends overcome the various obstacles that life throws at them in order to make comic books together. We talk about monsters, we pitch movies, and we hold each other accountable as we try our best to make comics that people might actually want to read. Join us every Wednesday at youtube.com/WeHaveIssuesPodcast or find us on Spotify and everywhere else podcasts can be found.
Maddie.
I'm Amber.
And we're Witches Talking Tarot.
We are the weirdos in this
room. Like a song, like a Santa snubble.
Flip the switch and let the cauldron bubble. Sam.
Wow.
Hi everyone, I'm Maddie.
And I'm Amber.
And we're
Witches Talking Tarot.
And today we're going to be discussing seasonal eating and seasonal living, really.
Yes, yes, it all goes hand in hand. It's connected.
So, seasonal eating, I think, is probably one of the most ancient forms of fucking eating.
It literally is the most ancient.
We've got paleo. Have you heard of paleo?
Yeah.
Okay, sure. So like I haven't fucking done that. I tried to do that, but I get like it's you've got like I don't fucking know. I'm sorry. Like,
I don't know how to do paleo. I've just heard of it.
So like basically
like, I mean
paleo.
I know the basics.
Like, it's like what our ancestors
would have been able to do. Right.
So, but like, speaking with the seasons, like eating seasonally, that goes with eating apples during this time of year, right?
Right.
Because
exactly.
That's what's ripe.
Yes.
That's what's available. Well, you got pumpkins and squash and zucchini.
Yes.
Everything that would be available naturally this time of year.
Yes.
Unfortunately, people like kind of be growing shit all fucked up. So like, why are there watermelons in the store in December?
Right. Well, and that's because of greenhouses and stuff. And like, yes, greenhouses factor into the seasonal eating, but not like what we're talking about. What we're talking about is when you can go to your local farmer's market and the fruits and vegetables that are available that time of year in your area. We're talking about using local honey that's locally obtained because of allergies. Or like, we'll get there. Anyway, like, we're talking about the fact that not only do we tend to eat more salads in the summertime.
And sandwiches.
But that's the time of year that you would eat those things because the grain is fresh and would have been just ground and you can make bread to make your sandwiches.
Mm-hmm.
You've got the lettuce. You've got meat because
tomatoes
are
growing
being butchered
off
at this time of year
regularly.
Like not, like, later, there's going to be mass feasts like this time of year because there's a larger amount of animals being slaughtered seasonally because you don't want to waste your resources in the ancient times feeding a much older member of the herd throughout the winter. You're going to focus the resources on the younger members of the herd that are going to produce milk for you and things like that. Right?
Well, I have a question for you then. So would it be considered seasonal eating if you are eating your own canned food or your own preserved food?
Because I mean during wintertime, yes,
right?
Because like that's what it would be, right?
Right, right.
That, during winter, right?
Yeah, what the fuck do
like
wintertime it was mostly like a lot of meat.
It was a lot of like the cereals that lasted longer. Apples were eaten throughout the winter because apples you can almost eat at any time of year because if you read an old story, right, like a book about like the times when knights were around and stuff like that, right? They'll talk about apples being packaged in sawdust because apples stay better longer if you preserve them properly, which our ancestors would have known the right ways to preserve the foods that they had available to them because all of their resources were so important,
right? It was
so
literally
like,
do it right or unalive.
Right, exactly, because like you're at some point in our history we figured out a little bit of like the cold storage by digging cellars, right?
Right.
Because potatoes. Like potatoes, mm-hmm. apples, certain foods we could put down there. We learned how to preserve grain foods so we could like mill the flour and make bread during the winter and stuff like that. So it would be very much whatever you had preserved with, if you were able to preserve any of your fruits or vegetables, and then it would be meats that were preserved in salts.
Which is why stew was such an important
right,
thing. Because, like,
exactly,
when you've got it all preserved, it's tough, but you stew it for so many hours.
Right, and you've got all these vegetables that you got to use while you can.
Yes,
right?
Exactly.
And if
or
you
they're
stew
starting
them,
to get, like,
right,
turned, so you stew it, you're stewing the flavor out.
So long, anything that's living in there, you're not likely to get any stomach ailments. Because, look, the reason, I didn't even know I was going to say this, but the reason that poisoners used to be able to get away with it for so long is because we as a people had a ton of gastrointestinal issues back in the day because, like, sometimes we didn't always eat. Like, our cold storage wasn't so much great, or we'd eat leftover stew that hadn't been stewed long enough. You know, like, it was 3 days, like, the stew that was 3 days out, and if you cooked it long enough over the heat, it would kill anything in there. But sometimes
we get a little impatient.
Yeah, and that's where botulism came from and stuff.
Right?
No. I don't really know. Don't quote me, but you guys get what I'm saying, right?
But, so, like, preserved foods and baking.
And that's why preserves happened, like, when we were able to make sugars and stuff, because you could preserve your fruit that way and still get vitamin C during the winter time.
Well, and baking this time of year was more popular because it's fucking cold outside.
And it warmed the house.
And it warmed the house, as opposed to in the summertime when it was so hot, we're like, we'll just have this cucumber.
Right. Exactly. And also in the summertime, not only is it so hot so we don't want to heat up our domicile by cooking inside of it or being outside over a cook fire, but all of the leafy greens and stuff like that,
they're fresh. You don't want them to go bad.
Exactly. Because what's the point in putting the effort into sowing the seed and taking care of it to not eat the food once it's grown, which we as a society should probably get better about. I say with my Swiss chard outside. But, like, I've been eating it all year. I just haven't picked it for a minute. And then it got big, but then we've got a freeze. And Corey said nothing survived the freeze.
Oh, no, that sucks.
But I got a lot of gourds. Got a lot of gourds.
Yeah, you did.
Yeah. And that's not even all of them. There's a couple more on the counter.
You know what I really want to make? What? I've never... Oops, excuse me. I had a hiccup, but I've never made acorn squash. Have you?
Oh, yes. I love it.
Is it
good.
Sweet?
It is a sweeter squash, yes.
So
like,
I see
people talk about using
cinnamon,
maple syrup and stuff
syrup
with it. And but you can also put it with butter and a little salt, and it's like really good.
Compare it to a sweet potato for me.
Yeah,
is
I was
it?
About
or
to
no?
compare it to a sweet potato, like butter and a little bit of salt. It's about as sweet as a sweet potato is with butter and because
I saw one at the store and I almost grabbed one and I was like, oh, these are in season. But not butter. Did you? We're talking acorn squash, right?
Yeah.
Okay. I don't know how to cook butternut squash either.
Is that one sweeter or not? Acorn squash, if I remember. Damn, am I thinking of butternut?
So butternut's the long one.
Yeah, no. I know. I'm just thinking flavor profile. Was I thinking of butternut? No, I feel like acorn squash is the one I was talking about with maple syrup.
Yeah,
because like
I feel
sweeter.
Like people put cinnamon
butternut
on
squash
it.
Is less sweet, I think, than acorn squash. And the best way to cook both of them is you cut them in half. You scoop out their like seeds and stuff in the middle. You put them on a baking sheet with a little bit of water and like the salt, like the part that
right,
you cut
right.
Space
it's
down.
Like it's like cooking a spaghetti squash, which I do often.
Yeah,
so I imagine
the water
it'd be
and you
similar.
Put it in the oven. Yeah,
right, right.
And then like when it's done, you can like do whatever you want with it.
I wonder, is it stringy like spaghetti squash?
No, it is not. Like
okay,
that. No. I mean,
it's
more closer,
sweet potato. More,
it is more sweet potato, and you know how sweet potatoes have like some of those strings in it, so it does have some of the strings. But more like this, the creamy sweet potato. And I'm glad you mentioned that because I need to get some acorn and butternut squash. I keep looking at the spaghetti squashes, actually, when I've been passing them in the store.
Oh, it's so good. Right. Please now, get it. Oh,
I love spaghetti squash. Yeah, I keep forgetting to get it because, like,
I just bought
it's
one.
It's easier to make noodles than it is to make spaghetti squash. Yeah,
I actually but just
it's
made...
really good, and it's like crisp and it's really fucking good.
I've
been thinking about
made...
getting it and making it with barbecue sauce.
I don't know about that. I mean,
it goes with marinara,
right? Like, and I think I told you about the recipe
I'm looking
I made,
for
which
stuff
is
to replace barbecue, guys.
Which is technically a. I know I'm over here thinking now, but which is technically like a seasonal recipe that I told you about, which was the spaghetti squash with marinara, with zucchini and mushrooms and squash.
Oh my fucking god.
It was so good. Did I tell you about that shit? Oh my god, it was the best spaghetti squash I've ever had.
Oh my god, Ashley makes a vegetarian lasagna that's very similar.
Like, yeah, it was almost like
wise.
That. Yes,
yeah. Like,
oh
I don't
god,
know if you had
so
it layered and shit, but like,
no,
she
was
does
just...
like zucchini and yellow squash and mushrooms. There's something else.
Are mushrooms in season?
It's for me, they're always in season.
Right.
No, like typically
it's kind of chilly.
Wet season. Like, mm-hmm. mushrooms are in season during spring and autumn is mm-hmm. usually when you go shrooming
right.
for, like, morels and stuff like that.
Love me some morels.
Fuck
oh,
yeah.
Fuck yeah.
Oh, my God. Morels. Corey once got this huge thing of oyster mushrooms and mm-hmm. made fucking chicken marsala with it. Ah, that was back when I could still eat meat. This was a couple years ago. Fucking fire. And, like, look... I'm not telling you to go pick your own mushrooms. Like, my husband's
don't,
been looking into it for a
while. Unless
you
know what you're doing.
Yeah, like, but there's something to be said. Like, we talk about seasonal eating. There is something to be said about going out into the yard and picking part of your dinner. We used to have an amazing garden when we lived back in CJ. And our garden was, like, almost the size of this living room. And, like, I had corn, I had zucchini, I had yellow squash, I had shit ton of tomatoes, I had a shit ton of cucumbers. I don't even remember everything else. Oh, peppers. I had bell peppers. I don't remember everything else that was in there, but I had so many cucumbers and tomatoes that every single day before dinner in the summertime, I went out to my backyard and I picked sun-warmed tomatoes and sun-warmed cucumbers.
It's the best way to eat a pear.
Oh, yeah. I've never had one like that. I don't like pears, though. They're a little too soft. But I believe it because sun-warmed fruit is amazing.
It's delicious. It
it's
is
so
good. I
like,
love sun-warmed fruit.
Sun-warmed cucumber with a little bit of ranch dressing is, like, divine. Okay, guys? So, like, eating seasonally is so good for you in a lot of ways, and it's spiritually good for you too. And let's just talk about the healthiest bowel movements you'll ever fucking have.
I just want to say,
when we only ate from the farmer's market,
I just want to say that, like, around this time of year, we're going to be noticing a lot of spices like cinnamon and cloves. Well, those were preservatives a long time ago. We've got pepper and cumin and chili powder and things like that.
And so many of the things that you mentioned have antimicrobial and antibiotic and antifungal properties.
Yet cleansing.
So it makes a lot of sense that they would be used as preservatives because they prevent bacteria and other things from growing in the food.
Well, it's just
so
like
it stays good longer.
You know, curry and things like that from India
about what you said
stuff.
About, like,
yes,
chili.
It will. It'll literally preserve it, which is why they use it. It also changes the flavor of maybe not
bad
the best fruit
or
the best meat.
Right. Yeah,
you
like
know
gamey
what I mean?
Meat.
Yes,
yeah,
exactly. So that's something that we as a society have just continued to do because we've just grown accustomed, I would think, to having cinnamon on sourin, you know, or like pumpkin pie, you know what I mean? I'm trying to think for like Yule, what is it that we always have? We have spice.
We have nutmeg. We have cinnamon. Mm-hmm. We have, like, spiced fruit is a big thing.
Yes.
Yule.
Yeah.
And those spices are to
spiced
hide
wine
when it's going a little rough. mm-hmm. spiced wine because those are the last of the grapes. Mm-hmm. So they probably taste a little bit more sour.
Right.
Or so something we're, like we're that. Changing things. So we're, yes. we're adding some elements to make it a little bit more palatable mm-hmm. because these things are getting toward the end of their good time frame.
Whereas in the... Oh, I'm so sorry. Go ahead. I was just going to say, whereas like around springtime and summer, we're using fresh herbs, fresh rosemary,
fresh basil, fresh milk,
like you said. Fresh butter. So if you notice, like there's definitely a change in seasoning as well.
Yes, absolutely. I'm so glad you brought that up because I meant to. I'm glad you did because like... Not like, and think about it like, okay, in the spring, the animals are just starting to do their thing. So we have a lot of dishes with eggs. We have a lot of dishes with cream. A lot of dishes with
like, there's
butter.
A reason that eggs are so important around Ostara. It's because we've got the spring chickens that are laying on their eggs.
And back in the day, we didn't used to keep chickens. So we would go around, like, this is where Easter egg hunts come from. We would go finding the eggs from the birds that laid them where we could reach them. Mm-hmm. And so, like, we would go, we would find breakfast, just like they do on Naked and Afraid.
Shit,
and
my grandma did that.
Yeah.
You know, literally. We were just talking about farm fresh eggs, because I got some from my parents. They have, like, 6 chickens, and they have so many fucking eggs.
Oh, yeah. No, and, I was talking about wild birds, though. Like, not your own
chickens. Wild birds? Yeah. Okay. Oops,
that's how we
bad.
Used it. No, but you're good, because that's awesome that she gets to go get her own fucking eggs.
Well, and I got some, and my grandma was talking about how my grandpa and my fucking husband are very peculiar when it comes to eggs, because they're like, I don't want it to have gone bad. And my grandma's like, fuck, every morning we went out and picked our own eggs for breakfast. Yeah. You know what I mean? It's not a big deal. Whereas my husband's like, there's chicken shit on this egg. Can I throw it away? Fuck
no!
Wash it off!
No, yeah, like, no.
Like, that means all the good shit's still on the egg.
Exactly, like, so an egg that has not been washed yet will stay, like, good for so long.
I'm like,
and then there's this thing where you can preserve eggs in, like,
vinegar and water or something. Or,
yeah,
it's like
or salt and water. Yes. Yeah, and, like, if you do it right, they're preserved really well. If you don't
pickled eggs around this time of year, the
shell is like kind of off and they're a little watery. Pickled eggs, I didn't even think about pickled eggs.
Or pickled anything.
Pickled anything, yeah, because that's a way of preserving, guys. Like, yeah, we love pickles in the summer. Pickles were a thing for fall and winter because they were a way of preserving the cucumbers.
Exactly.
Or the okra, pickled whatever. We call pickled cucumbers pickles, but everything that has been submerged in vinegar and spices is pickled. So there's pickled beets. That's actually really good.
Well, and
that,
it's
like,
just like
beets.
With kimchi, people in Asia.
Sauerkraut.
You know what I mean? Yes, sauerkraut, which is what? Is that?
Pickled cabbage.
Yeah, no, I know. I just don't know what region that's from.
Germany?
I'm pretty sure that's like Germany, something like that.
Yeah.
Anyway, that shit will last for years.
It will.
And it'll stay alive. The probiotics are alive. It's so good for your stomach. But, like, kimchi will last forever. Pickles will last forever. As long as you're preserving it properly, it's a thing. So, preserved fermented foods are very popular around this time of year as well. Like you mentioned, sauerkraut, which I fucking love sauerkraut.
I do too.
My husband does not like it, but I love me some fucking sauerkraut.
I do love me some sauerkraut.
It is so good for your stomach. It is so good. I got some
kimchi. It's tasty too.
Right? I love it.
Oh my God. Lolly, in her cooking class, she made this amazing fucking onion, cabbage, and apple sauerkraut stuff.
Oh my gosh.
Oh my God.
That sounds delicious.
It was so good. I couldn't have the pork loin that it was made to go with, but that shit was good. I was sitting there picking at it with my fingers.
I bet it was fucking good.
It was so fucking good.
And now a word from one of our fellow podcasters.
Brew Crime in association with Reverie True Crime present The Brewery Report, your daily news delivered to you monthly. Join Mike, Paige, and JT as they cover the stories you won't hear on the major news channels. Why, you ask? Well, because they're just that stupid. covering animals, crimes, travel, celebrity, politics, and more. We do the research, so you don't have to.
I wish they would have included a disclaimer not to drink anything, because I almost spit out my chai tea latte with 4 pumps of vanilla.
Haha, we know. We're working on it. You can find us anywhere you listen to Brew Crime or Reverie True Crime.
So make sure you behave or
fuck around and find out.
And you might find yourself on next month's Brewery Report.
But like eating seasonally is really good for our bodies from a lot of different perspectives. And allergies is one of those
allergies,
things.
Allergies, you are because, so correct.
Because like we talk about in plant medicine, right? Where the same plants that cause you to have hay fever cure hay fever, right? Yep. So in the same way from eating, the same plants that are out there blooming and causing your allergies to flare up, if you are eating them and exposing your body to them, you're going to have fewer allergic reactions to them.
I just want to do a quick disclaimer. Be intelligent when it comes to these sort of things, because you can take bee pollen for that exact reason. I had no idea. My cousin actually got some bee pollen. She's like, I'm going to try this. I was like, okay, well, how do you eat it? You're supposed to only take one and see if you have a reaction. Because certain people who are allergic to certain plants can have an egg reaction while ingesting it. It's not super common. But it can happen. So just know what you're doing, you know? Yeah, and don't take a lot if you have, like, a reaction. Because yeah. I had no idea. I was like, why the fuck do you need to put one bee pollen thing on your tongue and then wait? Like, why can't you just eat it outright? And she's like, oh, that's because of the allergic reaction.
Yeah, and for the record, guys, I don't mean eat foods you're allergic to. Like, when strawberries are in season, don't go eat strawberries because that's not what I mean.
No, I'm so sorry. I didn't mean that.
Yeah, no, like, you're good. I didn't want that to be misconstrued. Right. That is not what I meant. But, like, you bring up bee pollen. If you get local honey, it will help your allergies seasonally. Like, yes. Your seasonal allergies, because the bees are feeding on the same pollen that is causing your nose to go
ka-chang. Big difference between allergies and I was going to say allergy, but y'all know what the fuck I mean.
Right. Yeah, like, I mean, like, pollen allergies.
Right, I'm allergic to peanuts type situation.
Right, exactly.
But no, you are absolutely right. Local honey really does help boost your immune system because they use the same pollens that are around here, which is why, unfortunately, it's recommended to eat local pollen, but like our local honey, but it is sometimes more expensive than the cheaper kind. But I definitely recommend using the local over like a product of Brazil. You're more likely to have an allergic reaction to than something local.
Right. Well, and beyond that, like, okay, do you a taste comparison? Try orange blossom honey versus wildflower honey.
Clover.
It's wild fucking,
it is,
y'all.
Like, there's,
it's
clover.
So good.
What kind of, do you know what you get? We always get clover honey, but my husband loves orange blossom honey. I wish I could find some lavender.
So good.
I was at a farmer's market, or it was a festival, and this lady had honey that her bees had eaten on lavender, and you could slightly taste the lavender. I've never been able to find it again.
Well, and what's cool is, like, we like to go to Empire Market sometimes and get honey from a guy who his bees, they get pollen out of Prairie State Park, and, like, we've taken our kids on so many day trips out to Prairie State Park. Corey's taken them camping out there. We've seen a buffalo, like, way too close for comfort there. So, like, we've also seen the hives that are there. And so it's like you literally know where your honey's coming from. And that's kind of fucking cool. But, like, beyond that, like, from the allergy perspective alone, it's so good for you. And, like, eating seasonally is good for you. It's not going to cure your allergies, but it's going to help them because you're ingesting the same things that are in bloom at the time that you're eating them. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So, like, it helps your body in the same way that eating the wildflower honey, or, you know, if you've got an area where you've got a lot of clover around and you're eating clover honey, that's going to help you because it's going to help with your allergies. And, like, You know, like we said, this is going to also be about living seasonally because it's all fucking connected. Like,
right. I was just about to mention. Oh, yeah. Go ahead.
Because, like, I was thinking about it, and it's like everything I do at this point is kind of seasonal, right? My home decor is seasonal. My fucking music choices are seasonal. And I'm not just talking, like, a Halloween playlist. And
We went and two different ways with
that
one.
Yeah, I was going to say, not a Halloween playlist and a Christmas playlist, but, like, there's music that I'm going to listen to in the fall that I'm not going to listen to in the springtime. Like, there's a playlist on Spotify. It's called Songs Like Rises the Moon. And it's got the hardest core fall vibes. But if it was, like, if the tempo was just a little bit more upbeat, it would probably have, like, hardcore springtime vibes.
Always had this? Is that Kuan Yin?
No, I just got it recently. Mariah, the neighbor, was getting rid of stuff.
Is it Kuan Yin? It doesn't quite look like her.
I don't know if it's supposed to be Kuan Yin. I didn't talk to the neighbor. She just, everything that didn't sell at the garage sale that she had, she was just kind of like putting out there.
But, I just noticed it, so I was like, was that here the whole time?
It's been there for like a couple, since September.
Oh my gosh.
Maybe August, yeah. But anyway.
It's also, spiritually speaking, going to bring you closer to Earth. It's going to make it easier, I would think, to ground, to center yourself.
That is why I started eating seasonally.
Do you only eat seasonally, or do you try as hard as you can? Like,
I try as hard as I can. Like, there's certain meals that I have seasonally, you know what I mean? Like, I'm not...
Egg salad! We made egg salad. Yeah. That was... Okay, bitch, can we please do that again next year? Because that was the best egg salad I've ever had. Oh, maybe second to when I found out I was pregnant.
Right? No, I fucking love egg salad. But, like, I started doing it because of spiritual reasons to be more connected with the earth and her cycles. I can't always do it, right? But, like... Because, like, A, we live in grocery store society, right? Yeah. So, like, everything's in season most of the time, except for a couple of items. I try to eat seasonally from the standpoint of there are certain things I associate with a certain season, like lavender lemonade. That is totally a summer thing, right?
Right.
But at the same time, citrus fruits are winter fruits.
I don't understand. Well, do they
partly
come in
it's where they grow. Okay, yeah, they come in season. I wasn't sure when they were.
Like, well, and it's also just it represents the sun, and there's different spiritual
right, and so it makes sense that it's a winter fruit. But at the same time, it's like I associate lemons with summertime and limes,
which
honestly,
is a societal thing. Honestly,
yeah, it really is. That's a good point. But, like, you know, pumpkins, I pretty much only eat this time of year.
Yeah, that's true. Same.
You know what I mean?
I do eat spaghetti squash all year round. I do.
Yeah.
Because it's a better, it's a healthier option than pasta.
Noodles, right?
Yeah, so I do.
And I don't, but at the same time, I should. So it's, like, it's one of those things, like, there's a lot of stuff that I do eat seasonally that is the proper season for it. And back when we shopped at the farmer's market every week that it was open, we really did eat seasonally, at least from a vegetable perspective, because we only bought vegetables at the farmer's market, and I would love to get back to that. Busy life has not allowed me to.
Oh, I understand. Two kids, I get it.
Granted, like, growing my own food has been great. I really enjoyed having my own peppers. I really enjoyed making salads just out of my garden this summer, you know, with the spinach and the Swiss chard and the peas and the beans and the tomatoes and the peppers. Like, that's all been super awesome. But, you know, my garden doesn't always do as well as it did this year.
Right.
You know what I mean? So it's like, I try to eat seasonally as much as I can. But there's certain things.
So what I'm hearing is everybody should do their best.
Yeah.
Because we live in a society where it's not always practical or available.
Right.
I mean,
yeah.
And I think that's fair. I do think right. we need to be a little gracious to ourselves.
Absolutely.
Because right. of the society we live in, even though right. Amber and I don't necessarily agree with how we live.
Right.
It
yeah,
is the card we've been dealt.
Right.
So
it's where we live until we can dismantle everything and start right. from beginning.
Right. So don't feel bad if you can't entirely eat seasonally. But eating seasonally is a conscious decision.
Right.
For example, it's autumn now, okay? Grab a fucking apple.
Yeah.
And just know
okay,
I am eating this seasonally.
Stew night. Yeah.
I feel like it's more... Maybe it's more common to eat seasonally than we really realize, because people are always eating chili and stew and chicken noodle soup around this time.
That's also why I wanted to do this episode, because there are a lot of things that you do seasonally.
You don't even realize
yeah.
it. Yeah.
Like salads and sandwiches in the summertime. Like,
exactly.
That's eating seasonally, even if you don't realize it.
Right.
Same with, like, feasting at this time of year and at Thanksgiving and at Christmas. Because that was the time of year to feast.
I'm so ready for Thanksgiving, you guys. This is my first Thanksgiving I'm hosting.
Yay! That's awesome.
Thank you so much. I am so excited.
Yes. We are. So, like, okay, eating seasonally does not mean you have to be traditional, though. Because, like, we are non-traditional holiday diners. Like, for Thanksgiving, we only have turkey and ham if Rosalind's birthday and Thanksgiving are on the same day, because sometimes her birthday's on Thanksgiving, and then she always asks for turkey and ham. But otherwise, Corey and I don't like turkey and ham. So, like, we usually have traditional side items, like we have mashed potatoes.
Oh, sometimes we do,
like, we have, like, green beans, but we don't have green bean casserole because he will not eat that. But, like, our meat, we have, like, we'll have a lamb roast, or we'll have a rack of lamb. One year we had prawns for Christmas, still... Best Christmas ever. Prawns that were like this fucking big.
Like shrimp.
Oh my God. Yes. Yes. Like gigantic shrimp.
But
like, it's still, we're still feasting traditionally.
Right. You know we don't always do traditional either. Like sometimes my mom will make corned beef and cabbage, or she would make like a cheddar broccoli soup or something like that. So I guess maybe that is traditional because it.
And actually cabbage is traditional for November.
I know. I'm like, well.
Associated with November, which I
maybe it's
know.
Not traditional in society standards, but like.
But like from a seasonally eating standpoint.
It is. Yeah.
It is, even if you don't think of it that way, because like. I just learned, like, yesterday or today that cabbage is something to eat for November.
I love me some cabbage.
Love cabbage. And I've been eating it lately because, like, cabbage is good. Like,
and cheap.
Stir fry some fucking cabbage.
Oh,
that
yeah.
shit's bomb. Saute that shit.
I am trying to convince my family to eat fucking homemade Chinese food for Christmas. I'm getting pissed as hell that nobody else wants to do it. Everybody's like, no, we want turkey. We want ham. Fuck turkey and ham. I want crab rangoons. Fuck you guys.
Yeah. No, I like, I mean,
my
a,
hair
a
is
Christmas
so thick.
Story. That's why I always made a duck was because of a Christmas story. You know what I mean? So like, Chinese food.
I almost. Okay.
What? Oh, the duck.
The duck.
Yeah. We love my duck at Yule. That's why I make
Oh,
it
yeah,
Yule,
I do. I do. Like, I really would love yeah. you to make another duck. It's fucking Amber's cooking
I
season.
I don't get
is what
to
it
fucking
is.
Eat it. I will
I
make
know.
It. I will make it.
I feel so bad because this year I'm like, okay, Amber, you have to make your chili. I need a bonnet. Like, I don't mean to, like,
am
just
I, like, no, I'm sitting here like, funny. Am I willing to halfway die so I can have a piece of duck?
Like,
I am.
By the way,
am,
don't
apparently.
Forget your duck. Like, yeah. it's Amber's cooking season. You just cook
so
really good in the
thank
autumn.
Thank you. I have been, these foods that I make during this season, like, I have been cooking these since I was, like, 8 years old.
Like definitely.
Chili? I started making chili when I was 8.
Oh, yeah. I love your chili. It was great.
Fucking baked beans. Like, there were certain things that my family, like, just was like, you're in charge of making this. And I was okay with that. Baked beans was one of them. I fucking love baked beans. Oh my God, I need to do that. Sorry. Like, okay, so the reason that seasonally eating is so good, right, from a spiritual perspective, is because you're getting in the spirit of that season when you're eating seasonally.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, you're eating seasonally by eating stews right now or whatever, right? You're also feeding into Samhain energy. Mm-hmm. You're feeding into the Yule energy that's coming up. You're feeding into that energy of the season by eating seasonally. And from a magical perspective, think of it like Santa magic, right? What gives Santa his magic? When you believe. When you believe. When you believe in Santa, right? So eating seasonally, you're feeding into that magic that that specific season has, just like Yule and Santa. I hope that made sense. That's all I have to say.
I promise. Is there anything else you want to add about eating seasonally, or you think we've pretty much covered it all?
Oh, it looked like you had something to say, so I was like, I'm going to shut up. Oh, okay. I can't think of anything else other than, like, guys, so many people don't decorate for Samhain anymore. So many people don't decorate for Yule anymore. And it's important from a lot of aspects, but the magic of the season is the most important part of it. And eating seasonally just feeds into that magic of the season. And not only does it feed into the magic of the season, you are ingesting that season's energy. You're imbuing your very being with the autumn or the fall. Damn it, autumn and fall. Yeah, autumn or winter or spring or summer. I was like, I couldn't think of another season. We're in autumn right now. I hope that makes sense. I just, like, I'm very passionate about this one, honestly. Because it's so important for our body and our spirit and our world. Like, it is. It's important for the world.
It definitely is.
I know it's crazy.
No, you're right. You're right.
Yes. So, hi, Victoria.
Hi, Pam.
Hi, Death by DVD.
Hi, Melissa.
Thanks for being our patrons on Patreon. We appreciate you. And if you guys want to join them in getting this awesome shout out from your favorite witches, go to patreon.com/witches talking tarot.
You can also find us on Instagram and Facebook at Classiest Witches.
And on, at Witches Talking Tarot.
At Witches Talking Tarot. My bad, I'm sorry.
And on X at Classiest Witches.
Thanks for sitting with us for a spell.
Hey there, friend. My name's Sarai, and I host a spooky, casual podcast called Freaky AF, where I tell you stories of conspiracies, true crime, and of the supernatural. So if that's your kind of shiz, come check us out. I'm sure we'll be great friends. You can listen to us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Spreaker, and a bunch of other places. Or you can look us up on Twitter and Instagram. We're Freaky AF Pod. That's FreakyAFPod. Come get spooked, y'all.